Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Fallica. He made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
Is it you insinuating that you have reached the ceiling on how bad the podcast is right now?
But you're willing to go further.
Right.
Yeah, I am really go further, actually. I'm okay. Still a bit of bleeding, but that's bound to stop.
Roy, when I text you yesterday, seeing how you're doing, I'm pretty sure you responded to me that you've become an X-Men, and I was like, he must be on drugs or something. I don't know what he's talking about.
It's a joke.
Oh, okay. I was like, either he's joking or he's tripped up on some drugs and he thinks he's one of the X-Men.
Yeah, it was a joke. Night last night, boys.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. So on a whim, one of my friends started like a seafood delivery company. So I was like, you know, I'm feeling myself with all this HelloFresh stuff. Give me some colossal scallops, some lobster tails. I'm going to pair it with Mike's champagne risotto, world famous. Many people are saying this. And I cook lobster tails for the first time. Lobster tails came out real good, hand-drawn butter. It was a lot for one guy to balance, especially the scallops. There was one point that oil popped into my eye, which was, thank God it wasn't boiling hot. But it was good. But lost in the sauce was that I had approximately 1.5 bottles of Chardonnay to myself. So the NBA draft was amazing. Let me tell you. I was having the time of my life. Next thing you know, it's, you know, 11:45 when I'm usually in bed 3 hours before that. I mean, wow, what a night at the Ruiz house. It was just my wife coming out at 10:30 judging me. You're drunk. And me going, you're drunk.
Oh, solid comeback.
Yeah.
I had soup.
What did it look like, Mike, at your most, because, you know, there's when you're cooking a meal, there's always one moment where it's like, this is the crunch time. There's like, you got like six different things going on at once. Yeah. Like, how do you handle those moments?
So thankfully, I was at the portion when shit was getting real. I was at the portion with the risotto where it's just let it sit.
Oh,
so I just take that off of that electric. I wish I had cast iron and gas, but my experience with getting popped in the eye with hot oil, probably best that I have one of these electric stove tops. So I move that out of the way. It's really the scallops. Now the scallops, they cook quickly.
Yes. You know?
They're easy to cook, but it's really all about in the thawing process, which, you know, that's on me. I gotta thaw these overnight. I didn't do that. So I got a little bit more of a fishy taste than I like. I couldn't concentrate on the caramelization because I was cooking lobster tails for the first time and I was starting to freak out a little bit about that, but I've learned. But everything, I wanted a hot plate. I'm very particular. I need piping hot food and I wanted everything to sort of be ready at the same time, but I put myself behind the eight ball a little bit, Chris. Thank you for asking.
It's a fine line between caramelization and burning your food. So hopefully it worked out for you.
And that's what's for lunch.
Mike, you've been running on all this, right? I hope that
I didn't roll on Roy saying if I could feel worse, I probably would.
Okay, which was you weren't rolling on that. All right, so let me catch.
I caught the very tail end.
Let me catch the audience up here so that they can get a full feel for what the last 5 minutes have been, because it is how we talk amongst each other. But everyone was genuinely concerned for Roy because Roy is wearing a mask at home and he has never done that before.
You didn't hear that concern on the front end. Instead, you heard me talking about my night cooking, which is very self-involved. But there was genuine concern for Roy. That's where this was all born
okay.
Out of, before I turned it into like me.
Yeah, we're going to do, what was that movie? Memento, that is shot in all sorts of different orders. All right, so I'm going to catch everybody up here as we wait for Stu Gatz. Stu Gatz is late again. Stu Gatz is going to be mad that we started without
him. These later Big Suey starts.
He's going to be mad at us that we started without him. But this is the backstory, okay? Roy comes in after missing yesterday's show. He had a procedure. We talked about it yesterday mysteriously. It was a procedure. We didn't want to say too much, but it's on his face. And it is not plastic surgery. It is not Kardashian. It is not vanity. And so he is wearing a mask at home. And everyone was concerned for him and said, "How are you doing, Roy?" And Roy, for some reason, said, "If I could feel any worse, I would." And none of us understood what that meant. But we also were given the fact that Roy, and this is a very good development, I like to see where this might end up. Roy is hopped up on Percocet right now. So basically, we have seen at my wedding three whiskey Roy, and he's just the life of the party. And so Roy, if you've gotten used to Roy around here, Roy tends to be very stoic, choose his spots very carefully on when he speaks in the microphone. But might Percocet Roy be a different character? Is it possible that drugged up Roy will be wacky and down for hijinks? Because that's why he's going to sound muffled, because he's wearing a mask at home. And he's wearing a mask at home so you can't see his face, because he's got blood in his nose and he doesn't want to disgust the audience.
Maybe not wacky, but I'm down for anything. So, yeah, let's go.
Okay. Because your voice sounds beat up. Stugatz has now sat down. Stugatz, are you mad in any way? Can you be honest with us whether you're mad?
I do.
That we started a couple of minutes early just yes. because the conversation, you haven't cleared out your voice for,
outraged.
The, day, for the day yet.
Yes.
We started a couple minutes early.
Sound like Roy.
Let's not let that take away from you being a couple minutes late.
Yeah, it was a couple minutes late. I'm the only, well, I shouldn't say the only one, but one of us, including the guys in the Zoom, I'm driving an hour and a half, okay? I'm just saying. So I'm going to be a couple of minutes late. We wait for you when you're late, Mike. I mean, we do.
I'm rarely late, though.
You're
late every time we do a big suey with a later start.
I like that.
And yes, I understand you're driving from a long distance. Shouldn't that be caked into when you leave your house?
You would think.
One of the things with Stugatz, this is fairly startling, I think, what I'm about to say. We've been doing this, I don't know if it's 20 years. We've been doing this 18 years, something like that. I don't think we've ever arrived at work at the same time where I'm holding a door open for him, because he's always showing up at the last minute because I believe he's smoking heaters in his car.
Nah. I wasn't doing that today. Today was just, I got a little bit of a late start. I was talking to someone in our digital team on the way here as I got into the garage. I just got off to a late start. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not going to bullshit you guys. I am telling you, I woke up a couple of minutes late, left a little later than I normally do, and I got here a little late.
Well,
there was no traffic. There was nothing. It was just on me.
All right, so okay? This is what you missed, though, while you were gone. So Roy has hopped up on Percocet, and Mike was telling the story of why he's hungover today. He was drunk last night. His wife said, "You're drunk." Mike lashed out back at her. "You're drunk," even though she hadn't had anything to drink. And so that's
very adult relationship.
But Mike enjoyed the holy hell out of the NBA draft that way. And it's fun under all circumstances. If you're drunk, though, I got to imagine that that takes out even the virtual clumsiness. Like, it feels more like the draft because you're drunk.
Oh, yeah. I was playing a game with myself. Would Malika Andrews ask a sad question? And man, that bet cashed nearly every damn time. And when you're drinking and having a bottle and a half of Chardonnay to yourself, and I know this isn't the manliest thing, don't judge me, it pairs well with a lobster tail, okay? Educate yourselves on wine pairings. Either way, I was too buzzed to actually check my phone and have it ruined by Woj, so everything caught me by surprise. He got precious.
Yeah, he's absolutely right about that wine pairing. White wine usually goes with seafood. It usually goes with chicken.
Oh, he is wacky.
Welcome
today.
Welcome to Percocet Roy, baby. Getting in there. He's got a mask on now. Unfortunately, Roy, the problem that we have is because you're wearing that mask, you have the best microphone setup of any of us here, but you sound like shit, like utter and total shit.
I like calling
Is that better?
I like calling him poi. I mean,
Percocet Roy. Look at that. Everyone's feeling good.
Percocet Roy.
Poi. 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 Poi.
Who Got else you. Watched the draft last night? I am ashamed to say, and I've had to catch up with research today, which is not the way to do this, that I fell asleep, I'm embarrassed to say this, at 6 p.m. last night.
What?
Wow. So you didn't even find out about Klay Thompson.
6 p.m. Well, I read up on it in the middle of the night, and that I don't know how bad he's hurt, though.
Man, I'm hearing stuff, Dan.
But it's just, right now, it's just tests lower body injury.
Lower leg injury. When you hear lower leg injury, and they don't actually say, oh, it's an ankle, because you wouldn't hear about it if you turn an ankle. You maybe hear, you'd hear about it if it's a break. Sometimes the breaks are better than a turn. I'm worried Achilles. And Shams went on the stadium feed, and he was like, they're worried about a heel. It's in that vicinity, so I'm worried.
Okay, but why is that your starting place on all the things that happened last night? There were a number of interesting ones.
That is massive, dude.
Well, no, headed into the draft, that was the big story, because the Warriors had the number two pick, and maybe they were thinking, we'll take someone, and then they had to maybe adjust who it is they were going to take, because they have to account for Klay Thompson and that injury. It was crazy.
I mean, good timing by Klay to do it on draft night. They still ended up selecting Wiseman, who's the big, who in years previous would probably be certified number one overall
pick. We've never
pick.
Seen them with a big. We don't know what it's like to have a player like right. that, and they just drafted
an
him
athletic big. We've never seen them with like a super athletic big. Even JaVale McGee, who looks more athletic certainly than Andrew Bogut, has his limitations.
So yeah, Bogut is the way that they were doing that. They weren't doing it with someone who looks big. Like Wiseman. But I would think that we, and you guys have all noticed this, right? That LaVar Ball has largely disappeared. Like, I don't know whether something was learned there, and I know he did some stuff on social media last night, but that's a fairly amazing thing that he has now nurtured to basketball life two first-round picks like that. Like yeah. that.
I'm not so sure he's learned. I think ESPN has learned. I think ESPN was largely
at
fault.
No, but Mike, there's been some reporting on that in terms of he has purposely gone a little quieter into the background because first of all, I think something happened to him where financially, didn't he get suckered?
Yeah. He got suckered on Big Baller Brand.
And so he got suckered on something, and apparently some people have talked to people around him. And that there's been some actual humbling there, something that you couldn't have imagined.
I mean, well, Michael Jordan just took his son. And remember, LaVar said that he could beat Michael Jordan one-on-one. So hopefully we actually can fire that thing up in a gym.
Once you get to the NBA, your sons get to the NBA, right? Like, it's, what are you going to do? Because that act will work AAU. It will work in high school. Oh, but what your son's
He was trying. The way this ended up playing out is he was trying to make a different model for everyone in terms of what a family can be. He was the alpha. He embarrassed his sons on occasion where it seemed like they hadn't broken away from their father to become their own men. Right. And it was embarrassing. And Mike says ESPN, all the media has learned to, just sort of roll their eyes at him a little bit more. But it would appear that he also learned in making that sneaker company and having it be crap, where I was rooting for the anarchist. Why wouldn't you root for the little guy in that spot? But, you know, our shoes took 8 months to get here, and they were the wrong pair.
What's it like to fall asleep at 6? I'm just wondering.
Well, I don't have a lot of experience with that, so I'll tell you in a second. But, Chris, what did you have on LaVar Ball?
Well, I feel like he started to go away from the limelight once Lonzo distanced himself from him. Like, once his own kid was like, all right, I'm going to go to this different company now. I feel like everyone's like, all right, we need to stop paying attention to him.
The NBA, I know that a lot of people think of immaturity sometimes or blown money or whatever your cliches are for athletes. But the NBA, getting into a locker room, those people have done some living by the time you get there, and they will pull you aside and say, hey, smack you in the back of the head, your father's embarrassing you. Like, you need to grow up a little bit here and break away from what's happening there. Like, they've got no problem in an NBA locker room getting into your family dynamic and telling you to grow the bleep up.
Specifically that Lakers locker room when Lonzo was there with LeBron. Most NBA locker rooms are probably not the way. There were grown-ass men in the 1990s yep. in that league. Like, remember when you would go visit a friend and they had a dad that just scared the shit out of you? Like, that was like what an NBA locker room is. Now it's not so much. Sensibilities have changed. The overall age of NBA players have changed.
But you don't think LeBron had that moment where he slapped him on the back of the head and said, hey, your dad's embarrassing
It doesn't even
you.
Have to be, though. It doesn't even have to. It could be a Caldwell Pope. Like, just dudes who have lived.
Yeah, Caldwell Pope, who's on work release.
It could be a Clipper. It could be somebody from an opposing locker room. But
right.
Rondo.
He grew up. What I'm saying is whatever growing up Lonzo Ball had to do from out of his father's shadow, like, I'm guessing he did it pretty quickly in that league with the help of
also,
that
he league. Was 18. He's 18. You act so different at age 18. I don't care like how, like, what tier of professionalism you are, where your craft gets you at. 18 years old, that's a lot to throw at a kid, and you're asking an 18-year-old to display a maturity that many of us didn't have at 18.
But that's a marvel to behold, is it not, last night, in terms of what the storylines
are? Well, I wasn't aware that LaVar Ball could be humbled, and it seems as though he was humbled a bit by just being taken for a ride.
Not knowing everything, being somebody, yeah. It's been publicly shown that on the business side, he didn't know what he was doing, and he was made a sucker.
The Lakers ended up winning a title when he said that that wouldn't happen after they traded his son. So there was some humbling, but I would say I would start selling stock on LaVar Ball being humble, because it's just a matter of time before it turns up, because he's relevant again.
Mike, when we got to the Heat's pick, it was 20, I believe, right?
Yeah.
When we got there, because there was a Kentucky kid. Excuse me. Sorry about that.
$5.
Really?
Yeah, always.
I mean,
$5.
We always have this back and forth where you're confused.
Here's a 20. That will cover me for the next four. All right. You know, I'm just putting it in the middle here. You owe 50, by the way. You killed someone last week.
Yeah, you keep saying that, but that's not what I did.
You kind of did.
There are $150 that Stugatz tried to get out of this the other day, because there are $3 on here.
Get to that point, Mike.
Yes. Get to that point in a second. But he tried to get out of this the other day because he's like, just yesterday, Dan, you don't have to keep putting money on there.
Yeah.
You know, we're on ESPN Plus. Most people aren't necessarily seeing this because it's not visually on the joke on ESPN News.
No, and plenty of people, and we still push out to social. The joke still stands.
Yeah. Regardless, there's money on the console, and he's like, put it back. You don't have to. And he's like, did you ever pay those fines for dead people? And Mike, go look in the fine cup.
Yeah,
you will see a $100 bill. I shouldn't say that, though, because I've been afraid since I put it there that he's going to steal it. That he's going to go back there one day and take it and, you know, pretend like he's just getting pizza and then never return with change.
50-50, Mike? What do you think? I mean,
right. Finally get to your point.
So that Kentucky kid was there. So they've had great history now, right? 2 years in a row with Bam and Tyler Herro. Were you wanting them to take Maxey, the kid out of Kentucky? He's a good shooter.
I have totally turned, and I trust whatever this front office does.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this guy, look, the Miami Heat, it was a massive achievement. I was a bottle and a half deep into Chardonnay, but I was just marveling, man, I'm so happy what the Heat did. They surpassed all my wildest expectations for last season. Even the cockiest of Heat fans saying, taking LeBron in the finals to six games despite losing Bam Adebayo and Goran Dragic for a couple of games and having a diluted version of your best self. One of the things that stuck out was they didn't have another athletic big when Bam went out. You have Kelly Olynyk there, who presented some matchup problems, but in terms of like guarding players, it was a problem. This kid is a freak. Precious is an absolute freak. He's an athletic big.
Best athlete in the draft, they're saying.
Yeah,
right? Just athlete, but not in today's game, not the shooter that you'd want.
Well, actually, surprisingly good shooter. Shooting stats are better than a lot of the highly touted wing players in this, and there's already, like, he wants to prove to the world that he can be a threat from the outside, and he can handle some of the highlights there. A lot of Bam vibes from this guy, an impressive physique, so I'm in on that. It's all about filling roles, and when Bam, we didn't have an answer for when Bam went out, and I think, hopefully, given projections, this guy can be that.
I'm only asking that because my favorite part of every draft is at some point John Calipari will come on during the first round.
Dude was fired up.
He will make you feel like you've missed out on the next Michael Jordan. And he did that with Maxey last night. All the teams who passed on him, you're going to regret it. And I'm like, oh, God, the Heat had a chance to get it.
Yeah, but he was also what I liked about Coach Cal is like, okay, yeah, the goofy kid in the funny suit that had the drip, and everyone was like, who is this guy? Myself included. I wasn't hot on the Tyler Herro selection when it happened. Cal was taking his victory lap on Tyler Herro last night. It was good to see.
That is quite the recruiting tool that Calipari has. Not just that his players get to the pros, but that he fires up the Zoom, and every time, every
crazy
kid who's watching at home, dreaming about the draft, they're thinking of Calipari as a part of the draft in a way that other college coaches aren't. It is so smart that he does that he gets in there fired up, and that we allow it is funny. Like, we're just, we'll take Coach Cal because the personalities in the sport are bigger than the sport itself.
And he's such a good salesman. It was a great question by Reese. Have any of your guys gone into the NBA and they've exceeded your expectation of what you thought they were going to be? And he said, I knew Tyler Herro was going to be good. And he actually referenced his cojones and said, I didn't know so early that he was going to be so willing to take such big shots and have big cojones in big moments.
Mike,
and it was cool to see.
Help me with what was happening last night in terms of a lot of people on social media seemed to want to get started the idea that Tyler Hero is available in a trade. Like, what's happening there? Because that's not something that I've heard as being real.
It's real for one player, I think. Granted, a lot of teams want Tyler Hero. I'm sure Washington, who comes out and says, no, Bradley Beal is not up. That's like 101. Like, Bradley Beal is apparently available. Of course you want Tyler Hero. Kid that scored 37 in an Eastern Conference game at age 20, being able to shoot from the outside. Good size.
But why are people believing that he's in play? Like, he might be in play for Giannis, but yeah. Like, what? Why are people thinking that he is someone who's available?
Because they want to make him available. That's part of leveraging a fan base. It's not going to work with the Miami Heat. I think Tyler Hero is available for one player.
Who else should he be available
for? He shouldn't be available for Bradley Beal. I wouldn't do it, and I love Bradley Beal.
Really?
Miami is better win now with Bradley Beal, but what I saw from Tyler Hero was something the likes of which, like, only Magic Johnson has done. I think that kid has an incredibly high ceiling. His game, if he can limit the turnovers and improve the decision-making.
But is that the starting point? People are sniffing around. Beal's available. You know that the Heat would be interested in having Beal. And so one of the pieces that you're going to want back, Bam's not available. No. The one that's might imagine yourself available for a superstar is Tyler Hero.
You get Kendrick Nunn, who finished second in the Rookie of the Year voting, and Duncan Robinson and a couple of picks, and you'll be happy with that. If not, get bleeped.
You agree with that, by the way?
Well, I just don't understand what's happening here, because Ira Winderman was throwing out there the idea of Hero being available for Drew Holiday. And, like, I don't know where people are getting that from, because I have not heard anything about Tyler Hero being available.
I'm not throwing shade at Ira. Every conversation with Heat people that any of us have ever had, they are super high on Tyler Hero. I would imagine they hang up the phone laughing.
I've told you the story, and it was before the 37-point game, where the question around the Heat locker room that has been bandied about is Tyler Hero. What's he going to be? Tyler Hero grew up. It's a funny thing to say. Really admiring Devin Booker. Kentucky following the same path. Devin Booker is, what, 24?
Tyler was mentioned in Devin Booker things, but I don't think that was ever real. Phoenix was all in on Chris Paul.
But the Heat have believed that when he sets his heights on, I can be Devin Booker, think higher. Think higher than that. Like that Devin Booker, and so you know how good Devin Booker is.
Yep.
And so if that's what you're talking about trading, do you trade that for Bradley Beal? If that's what you think it is.
Beal's 27 years old. Last 2 years, he's averaged 27.5 points per game.
On a bad team, though.
So I understand that.
But when you say, do you understand that? Do you understand it? Because a lot of guys for a terrible team could put up 27
he's
a game.
Good.
If they're no, I'm not no, saying Dana's no, no,
really
no.
Good,
I, whoa, whoa, whoa.
He's bleeping awesome.
I'm not saying that Bradley Beal's not good. I'm not saying that Bradley Beal's not an all-star. I'm saying that Tony Campbell has averaged 20 points a game in the NBA when he was the leader of a team. What you want from that best guy is that guy can take that team to the playoffs, period, no matter what that team is. That's what you want. Well, like, that's Devin Booker was playing play-in games this year as the guy who is Bradley Beal on that team.
Actually, what I'm doing is I'm thinking Hero, Bam, Jimmy Butler, or Beal, Jimmy Butler, and Bam. Like, that's what I'm thinking about, and I'm not certain I would want Beal instead of Tyler Hero at this stage, you know?
At this stage is important, but there's a stage after this stage, which is the very next season, maybe. I don't know. I can't really project the growth and development of Tyler Hero. He got better from the season start to season's end, and he's still working on his game. If you check out his Instagram, this is a quick turnaround. I think his ceiling, and I got laughed at a little bit when I said he's a willing defender, but part of why they say reach higher than Devin Booker is they think he can be a better defender than Devin Booker, which isn't hard, and they think he has a high ceiling. They think Klay Thompson when they think of Tyler Hero.
This is a very sports radio discussion, Stugatz, but the conversation is, do you, for right now, this minute, trade 7 years of Tyler Hero's life? if you think he's going to become Bradley Beal? Do you, because that's the 7-year age difference. Do you trade 7 years of Tyler Hero away for 3 years of Bradley Beal?
But you get the Beal years right now.
Yes, you get them. You get them in the prime of a basketball player's
life. If they have Bradley Beal over Tyler Hero, and maybe the injuries break a different way, they're probably NBA champions. Look at how far they got without Bradley Beal.
That's interesting, Mike.
There's an argument to be made for Bradley Beal over Tyler Hero, but it's what's the end game? It's a long play. You have one of the most valuable assets in the NBA right now in Tyler Hero.
But, Mike, do you trust that you're as close as what you just saw? If you think you're that close, don't you make that deal?
I think they're close, yeah. Well, they were obviously close because they were Eastern Conference finalists. What surprised me is that they got there in year one of this, in year one of Tyler Hero's career.
I think what's at play here has to be, if you're the Heat, if you're any team, is – did what we see from Tyler Hero, was that real? It's in a bubble. There are no fans. He's not on the road. He's not doing it at Milwaukee. He's doing it on a neutral court.
Like, that was still a big moment, though.
No, like, I know it was. I'm not trying to minimize
late it. In those games.
But it was minimized.
Fair. He showed enough late in games, I think, before the pandemic started, where I'm like, okay, this kid is cut from a certain cloth. He has guts.
I would slow down a little bit on the idea of they are so very close and you're going to be able to put a bookmark in it and next season they're going to be right there, because Philadelphia is going to be different next season. I don't know what they're going to figure out. Milwaukee's going to be better.
Milwaukee's gotten better.
Although Bogdanovich, that contract fell apart.
Which,
right?
if you want to read into, everyone was saying, oh, the waters are warming on Giannis locking up. That Bogdanovich thing is a real red flag.
But I think that's where you have to aim your sights, right? Not just Milwaukee. You now have to factor in the Brooklyn Nets. You have to
get better is the point.
Because, well, everyone else gets
because
better.
Because other people have gotten better, and the Heat may or may not have gotten better last night. I know Mike likes George Hill as a fit. He's going to be available.
We love George Hill.
What happened in the NBA Finals. George Hill. When Bam went out with an injury, you didn't have a replacement for him. When Gorn went out, you realize, I don't really have a point guard that can defend and hit a big clutch three and have that experience. George Hill would certainly check a lot of those boxes.
So what else from last night? Again, and we will get into this at some point, I suspect. I fell asleep at 6 p.m. last night.
It's the first time
that's ever happened to me.
Jealous.
I couldn't believe it. I'm just exhausted. So can you explain to me other things from last night that you guys found interesting from the draft? Because we've got to get to Justin Herbert's haircut. That was jarring. It was jarring to see what a child he actually is. The long hair made it seem, in the helmet and the body, the physical body, makes it seem like he's a man. And then you see him get a haircut and you're like, oh, he's got pimples all over his face and he looks like somebody who was a high school quarterback 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't want to overreact to this, but I don't think he's ever going to recover.
He's finished. Yeah.
The Dolphins. Okay, so the Dolphins have finished Justin Herbert. I'm glad we established that. Did the Heat from last year finish the Celtics? Because now Gordon Hayward, they're talking about him to Atlanta, and Kemba may or may not be available. Did the Heat break the Celtics?
Atlanta could be an interesting team. John Collins is a very good player. Trae Young, obviously very good. I think that team can make a run. They want to add veteran pieces. Their draft pick, people are excited about. That's a team to watch. Boston, maybe. You know what? Maybe. Philadelphia is actually interesting because we knew Daryl Morey needed to add shooters and we were questioning how. Well, how is he's going to sell draft picks and get rid of Al Horford, find someone to take on that contract. He got Seth Curry.
Such a good trade for them, getting rid of Al Horford and a Horford. You see how they were treating? Man,
yeah.
Philadelphia fans, embarrassing. You are an embarrassment, man. Horford goes there. He's been nothing but a classy professional, and Philadelphia is ripping his family members in a way that's really ugly.
But they added shooters. Danny Green, downward trajectory on his career. Curry's a very good shooter. I mean, if you see his stats next to his brother, excellent shooter, compares favorably to him. I don't know if they have enough shooting because they have a glaring issue. Joel Embiid likes to take threes. Other teams like him to take those threes, and Ben Simmons simply won't take the threes.
Billy, what is it that you saw last night or that we just mentioned that that you wanted to get in on? Because I saw that you were eager to get in on something, and then I started talking about Anna Horford, and I discouraged you.
Well, no, Miami's just finishing everybody because the Marlins also finished Theo in Chicago. I mean, he's done. Unless he wants to start this team in Nashville that's rumored. And when's that going to happen? Expand MLB? Another, we're going to have, what, a 31st team? Get out of here.
I think, Billy, I think that you're going to find interesting because you are skeptical, Billy, when it comes, and understandably, to this David Sampson local hour that just got put out. But Mike and I talked to him this morning, and there were three things in there that I haven't heard anywhere else, like from anyone in media coverage. And I'm just curious what you will think listening to that hour. Mike, what would you say?
What were they?
That, well, like Theo Epstein as commissioner, as a possible commissioner. Theo Epstein, that the play for Theo Epstein is he wants to get into ownership so that he can then become commissioner of the sport. I've not heard that anywhere.
Yeah, we see the long play for Theo Epstein and possibly Derek Jeter. We start exploring what Derek Jeter's exit from the Miami Marlins might look like and how that comes about.
This again. He hates Derek Jeter. He really will never let it go.
That's fair. That's fair. You've really turned on Derek Jeter because you were like the driving force on the anti-Jeter train here on the show, and now you've given him the benefit of the doubt. But he rewarded you with a playoff. I mean, yeah, but he turned on him before that, and it's... Yeah, no, it's absolutely fair, though, your point. David Sampson obviously has a grudge with Derek Jeter.
Billy, how is our relationship with the Marlins right now? Because I've been wanting to get Kim Ng on, and we were going to get Don Mattingly. We wanted to get a Marlin during the playoffs. The Marlins, and I'd understand if they don't want to help us in any regard, but what has happened with the Marlins? Are they going to get us anybody?
You know, Kim Ng obviously is in very high demand right now. She did the rounds, and I don't even know that there were lots of one-on-one interviews. I can follow back up on that, but I don't know that that's necessarily going to happen on this show.
They don't like us.
Okay, so that's where we are. Yeah. But can we not? We cannot. I thought you had done some work to repair some of that.
They seem cool with me, but.
But I've ruined it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Well, by us, I meant you.
Well, you know what? I'm guessing that they probably don't like that we keep giving David Sampson a platform.
Well,
probably.
No, they definitely don't like that. But Billy's totally turned on with the Marlins. Like, he's super pro Marlins guy. But I remember.
I'm not super pro Marlins. I mean, that's not what's going on. I'm just not going to hold a grudge forever and be like, oh, the Marlins are the worst thing in the history of the world. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Oh, I'm never going to root for the Marlins again. Oh, the Marlins are fluke this, that. You know, I give them credit where credit's due. They've turned around last season. They made the playoffs.
Line of demarcation somewhere about around Manfred where it just turned.
Well, here, let me understand it, Billy, because there was one time, I don't remember much of it, but you were calling Donnie Mattingly, Donnie T-Ball, and there was a time.
Because he played everybody.
Okay, and then I was thinking there was a time that you were also going to hurt them in the pocketbook.
Yes.
Like there, you were going.
I didn't attend a single game this year.
There were trench coats in a corner when Dan kept citing documents that his investigative journalism turned up. You went in a trench coat and you met with Dan trying to pump him for information.
I had my board. I was doing investigations. Yeah. And?
Okay.
I don't understand.
So what happened, though?
It's called maturity, guys. It's called growing up, you know? So you don't hate someone forever just because they did one mean thing one time. What am I supposed to do?
Wait.
I'm 33 years old, all right? I plan on following this team as long as they exist or until I die. You want to hold like a 50-year grudge because they sold and they traded Stanton? What do you want me to
do? Something
called
happened.
You made the playoffs, Bill.
Well, that's something happened because we had this investigative board. There was an offshore. Sure account in the Caribbean, and then all of a sudden Billy's getting a free jersey.
What is that supposed to mean?
Oh no,
you're on the take.
Oh, I no mean, what an all. Accusation.
I'm sorry, how
like
many
that?
Things have the Heat come and pumped you guys up with to wave around your Dwayne Wade flag? Okay. Heat lifer, oh all my right, god right. Pat Riley this Pat Riley that blah 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 blah.
Different acknowledge
yeah
it,
but and I also was never anti-Heat. I acknowledge that I'm in the tank for the Heat.
Hold on a second, Billy, I feel like you're lashing out defensively. We're just trying.
The defensive ones are you guys, because you guys were all upset that you guys did not get
no,
jerseys.
No, Billy, you're the best shot we have.
I'm good.
You're the best shot.
Yeah, I still want a jersey.
You're our best shot to have a good relationship with this organization. That's why we're coming to you. I mean, we're hoping that you can help us out.
Well, attacking me is the wrong way about doing it, guys, because Mr. Jeter's not going to be coming on any show that's talking about his organization this way. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, can you please, though, just because I'm trying to get to the bottom of when the shift happened, like specifically, because Stugatz is saying it's making the playoffs, but it hasn't been making the playoffs. You have come around on Jeter from they will not get a dollar of my money to not necessarily.
They didn't this season. Yeah. They did, just let's be clear.
You taught them.
Right.
But when,
well, spring training they
but,
did.
But when? When did you find forgiveness? When did you find forgiveness and maturity? Because you didn't tell us. You just sort of you went.
It just happened.
You went. Yes, yeah. You went. You never informed us. You didn't send a memo. You just went from bashing them to then all of a sudden you were rooting
our,
for
our
them.
Our relationship is bad with him in part because you were gaslighting Dan.
I disagree with that. I beg to differ
Billy,
on that one.
Billy, Billy, you're the reason that I marched to get those journalism papers and did journalism for the first time in my life to look at paperwork that suggested that the betrayed Marlins customer base was mad. You're the heart and beating soul of Marlins fandom. I did that for you. I did journalism for you. I got the secret Manfred papers for you.
Thank you.
But then they made the playoffs.
What happened? What changed?
He saw the logo before anybody else. There's something that happened,
Billy,
there.
What happened?
Great.
What did they give you, Billy?
Did Jeter give you something? Billy, just be
they didn't know it's given me anything.
Billy, are you an honorary member of the Marlins organization? Are you a double agent? Are you somebody?
No,
who,
I wish.
Do you have a secret relationship where you're afraid to upset their PR people?
No, I'm not afraid to upset their PR people. Why would I be afraid to upset their PR people?
I have to admit, I was the one defending the Marlins all that time. And then they started giving Billy all the, you know, showing him the logo and stuff. And I was just like, what is happening? Did they
this
hear
is
me?
Disgusting.
They heard me
right
talking
now.
And they thought it was Billy maybe. I don't know what else.
In the background.
Boy, gross.
We got Billy on the back foot right now. Anytime we,
I still have a playoff T-shirt for Chris that he's supposed to get. That sitting in my apartment, but I'm
you
not
hear
pay
anytime he
that.
Chimes in. There's a nervous clapping in the background.
Yeah. Oh, that's I'm going like this.
Yeah, that's a coping
it's
mechanism.
It's a tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What is that? What are you squeezing there? That
we got
is
you under
tell?
The swinging light of interrogation, and you're cracking, kid.
It's a little case. Little
all right,
case.
You're clicking on it. I don't know whether we've got you backpedaling or not. I do.
I need to backpedal.
You're literally rocking back in your chair right now.
You are. Yeah.
I do feel like there has been, though, a point of change. Can you pinpoint it for me? Because you didn't tell us when it was happening, where you went from to forgiveness.
I can't tell you exactly when it happened. I'll still crush them when they're not doing well. That's what I do. All right? Listen, let me tell you something right now. Don Mattingly could very well be fired next season, and I'd be perfectly fine with that. It probably won't happen because he just won Manager of the Year. I wouldn't shed a tear. Now, if he wants to come on the show, that'd be fine, and I'll sing a different tune. But,
right,
you know,
right.
I wouldn't be sad if he went.
Jeter got to him. It's Jeter. It's not Mattingly. Jeter got to him.
I've never spoken to Jeter.
Right. I'm
working on it.
All right, forgive my ignorance because I'm the one who had the secret meeting with Jeter, and that did not evidently go very well because they're not getting us anybody. They're not getting us any players. They don't care for us to help them with their promotion of anything. And so, like, have they gotten us anybody? Because, Billy, you've is this relationship
on,
bearing
on the local hour they did.
Is Billy it, and I talked to Juan Pierre.
Is the relationship bearing fruit for us? Because I did not know that you had privately seen the logo. Is it just bearing fruit for you?
No, 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 no. I did not. No, 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 no. Let's clear this up right now. I was sent the logo on a hat from sources unnamed that were not the Marlins. And I may or may not have sent a little text of the picture that I received saying, hey, nice logo to certain people there. But I did not put it out beforehand. I don't want to say where I got the logo from, but someone with access to merchandise in another state sent me picture of merchandise before it was released.
Billy, that's a good move. I've actually done this move with the Miami Heat and Inter Miami. That's, hey, look, I got something of value here. I'm not going to put it out there, but there's going to be a little bit of relationship
that's
here going
for. That's not what
that was
either.
That
oh,
is.
My Lord.
That's what happened.
Do any of you here in the shipping container feel like Billy has been bought and sold? I feel like we're getting dangerously close to making that accusation. I feel like there's a suspicion here. This is all news to me, Billy.
I always find it funny whenever, like, because Billy's very critical of you being critical of the Marlins, and I'm like, wait a second, the history of
probably
this
because
was,
it's unfair.
Well, Billy was pushing Dan to do it.
But you really left me alone with this because I thought I was still charging at people on your behalf, but you just stopped and like, hey, Dan, I want to take the day off to go to opening day.
Oh, I do that all the time. This year I didn't, though, guys. Again, this year I did not do that.
Yeah, you taught them.
Right. Yeah.
The person who sent you the logo, whatever they sent you, nicknamed the captain.
Billy, are we? Forgive me, because you haven't given us sort of a clear, enunciated answer into the microphone. Are we going to get any Marlins people, or is our relationship bad with them?
My relationship doesn't appear to be bad with them. It's okay. I can't speak for everyone.